To come into God's presence, just to linger with the one who set me free. As I lift my eyes and see his awesome glory, I remember who he is and bow the knee. Bow the knee, bow the knee. King of all the ages, bow the knee. God alone on his throne, see him high and lifted up and bow the knee. Kneel before him, I'll adore him. As you live to love him more, bow the knee. Ooh. Ooh.
In his hand he holds the power of creation. With his voice is spoken, all things came to be.
Yet he hears the simple prayer I bring before him. When I humbly seek his face and bow the knee. Bow the knee, bow the knee. He is King of all the ages, bow the knee. God alone on his throne, see him high and lifted up and bow the knee. Kneel before him, I'll adore him. As you live to love him more, bow the knee.
Bow the knee.
Bow the knee.
Bow the knee.
Bow the knee. He is King of all the ages, bow the knee.
God alone.
God alone on his throne, on his throne. See him high and lifted up and bow the knee. Before him, I'll adore him. As you live to love him more, bow the knee. Bow the knee. Bow the knee.
All right. Thank you so much for the singing tonight and the program from the children. I want to ask you a question before we get into the preaching of the word tonight. You believe in the power of prayer? Half a dozen of you do. The rest of you, I guess, I don't know. Do you believe in the power of prayer, brethren?
Amen.
You either do or you don't. I believe in the power of prayer. I believe that God is a God who hears and answers prayer. I believe that. I think the problem with prayer today is not in the answering part, it's in the asking. God's still answering prayer. It's just that people have quit asking. A lot of people have lost their hope. They've lost their faith. It can happen. It can happen. I think people's just kind of, for the most part, just kind of wandering through life with no aim, no purpose. And they've lost their faith, kind of lost their way in life. And I want to encourage you. I want to encourage you to pray. Praying is important. We've been talking about in our Sunday morning services about our enemy. And we do have an enemy. The devil's real. He's real. And sometimes when I read articles and I read things that are going on in our world, it's just a fresh reminder to me that there's a devil on the loose. And he is at work. He is at work. And as I talked about this morning, he's seeking to gain place in our lives so that he can work from the inside. Tonight I'm going to talk to you after we have a lady to come forward who has asked us to anoint her with oil and pray over her. And I'm going to ask the men to come forward in just a moment to do that. But before I do, I want to kind of give you a little background about the scripture that we read. This scripture that we read is very important scripture. As I mentioned to you this morning, you can learn a lot about your enemy when you study the Bible, which is the Word of God, about the fall of Satan. The fall of Satan. You learn a lot about him. And then you learn a lot about him when it comes to the fall of man. You learn a lot about him and his stratagems, the way he goes about strategically to cause harm and destruction to people. And then we learn a lot about him in the way that he approached the Lord Jesus right here. This is real. It's real. I like to do this sometime. I'd like to encourage you. We're going to ask Sister Janice to come forward. I'm going to ask some of the men, if you would. Good praying men. Love the Lord. I'm going to ask you to come. We're going to pray over this lady. Just come on up, men. I want to encourage you while these people are finding their way here to the platform. I want to encourage you to do something. All right? Maybe it's been a while since you've done this. Maybe you've never done it. I don't know. But I want you to take a clear night. Perhaps tonight would be a good night. But I want you to go outside. And I want you just to look up into the heavens. And I want you to notice all the myriad of stars. It's amazing. It's amazing. Now here's what happened. Have you done this recently? When you first look, it'll look like, well, there's not many stars out tonight. But don't stop looking. Keep looking. Because the longer you look, the more you see. And the more you realize, whoa, wait a minute. There's more stars than I thought there were out tonight. And then you'll begin to realize, well, there is actually a whole lot of stars out tonight. And then you'll begin to see distinction in the stars. And then God will remind you, see those stars? I put them there. Amen? And then when you pray, you won't have a problem believing that the thing you're praying about, God's able to do. Because all that you saw up there are stars. It's just great big balls of fire. God did that. God did that. Sun's going to come up in the morning, brethren. Listen to me now. Listen to me. Sun's coming up in the morning. All right? You know why? Because God said it was going to.
Amen.
Been doing that for hundreds. Let me check that. Thousands of years. All right? God said it was going to. And by Him, all things consist. So the sun will come up in the morning. Oh, well, preacher, it may not come up. Now, you may not see it. It may be cloudy in the morning. But that doesn't mean it's not going to come up. Sun is going to come up in the morning.
Amen.
Listen to me. Just a big old, great big ball of fire. We're not going to have to send no astronauts, cosmonauts. Listen now. Not going to have to fuel the sun. Been burning for thousands of years. Not going out. Not till God puts it out.
Amen.
You know anybody else that's lit a candle and it's burned for that long? Uh-uh. You know why? Because God is God, and we are not. God doesn't need us, but we need Him.
Amen.
Please, just take a look. The heavens declare the glory of God. Just take a look outside. It's amazing. We spend all of our time inside. We walk around with our head down looking into our phone. We need to look up. We need to look up and see this great God who wants to get involved in our lives. He's very real. And He wants to be personal with you. He wants to be personal. He does. And I pray that you will just those few things. Listen, just those few things. Go out and look up into the heavens And just look and see the glory of God. I mean, it is something. It is something. And just begin to talk to God. What am I going to tell Him, preacher? Just tell Him what's on your heart. Just tell Him. Maybe you don't know Him. God, I don't know You. I'd like to get to know You better. He'll get up real close to you. The Bible says, draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you. All right? So I just thought I would mention that. Something's on my heart. I used to do it often. I don't do it as often as I used to. But this past week I did it. My, what a fresh reminder. There is a God in heaven who is in control of everything. Everything. You know what the Bible says about creating all them stars? You ought to read it sometime. And He made the stars. That's what it says. That's just fascinating to me. God did all that. It took about five words, you know, to tell us about that. Be sure to go out there and check them out. All right, you say, you must be crazy. Oh, no. No, used to be. Used to be. Not crazy anymore. Used to be. But I came to myself. Just like that man in Luke 15. Came to myself. And then I came to the Father.
Amen.
And it's been different now.
Yes, sir.
It's been different. Sure has. Life has a purpose now. I used to just get up every day, just listen, just bouncing around like a ball in a pinball machine. But now my life has purpose and aim. Because I've met the God who made me. And He told me why He put me here. And I am fulfilling His purpose in my life. You say, well, I sure would like to do that. Well, you can. God wants to show you your purpose for your life. God put you here for a purpose. You're not an accident. So when my parents said I was, your parents don't know what they're talking about if they told you that. You might have been an accident to them, but you're not an accident to God. Listen to me now. God put you here for a purpose. And God wants you to fulfill that purpose. You can know it. See, that's what brings fulfillment in life. It's knowing purpose. Purpose brings fulfillment. A lack of it brings emptiness. That's why there's a lot of people empty in our life, in our world today. They have no purpose. No purpose. They're just kind of going through life with no aim, no purpose. Just want to encourage you now. Get to know God. He's real. He cares. And He wants to get to know you. This lady has come to me, and with the approval and with the backing of her husband, she says she wants to be anointed with oil, prayed over. She's got many physical problems. And I don't know what Sister Janice's problems are. I don't even know why she has them. I know there's several reasons people have problems. I know that. I know what the Bible says in James chapter 5. The Bible says that you come and you ask the church to pray over you. Right? And if you've sinned, then you need to get forgiveness of that sin. You need to get cleansing. Because sin can bring, said it can now, didn't say it always, but sin can bring problems. It can. But sometimes you can be serving God and have problems. We're going to see tonight where Jesus was right in the will of God, but He walked right into a firestorm. He sure did. Right into a firestorm, full of the Holy Ghost, and walked right into trouble. You can be filled with the Holy Ghost serving God and still have trouble. All right? So I want us to pray for this lady that God's will would be done. God's will would be done. So that's what we want, God's will. God uses many things in life as teaching points. And may God help us to learn in the time of teaching. And may God, if it be within His will, bring healing to this lady. All right, let's pray together. Men, would you gather in? Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, as we bow in Your presence tonight, God, we bow before You humbly. And God, we realize that there's nothing in ourselves that we can do. We're limited. Lord, we do know that without You, we can do nothing. But we also know in Your Word, You tell us that through You, we can do all things. And Lord, as we bow in Your presence tonight, we come before You asking that Your will would be done in this lady's life. God, I pray for Sister Janice. She has many physical ailments. And we just ask you, Lord, that you would bring healing to her body. God, we're not asking you if you can heal. You have shown that many times before. You've declared it in your word. You are the great physician. There is absolutely nothing that you cannot do. You spoke the worlds into existence. And God, you put the planets into place. You put everything where it goes, and you have declared that they would consist. And so I pray, God, not that we would ask, can you, but we're asking, will you heal this lady? We pray if it be your will that you would bring healing to her body. Maybe it would be your will to bring immediate healing, even tonight before she leaves this place. You would heal her, Lord. And God, you would deliver her, set her free from the sickness that she's having in her body. God, deliver her and set her free, I pray, if it could be within your will. Lord, her heart, she says she wants to serve you, and yet her body has hindered that. And so I pray that you would deliver her from the sickness, the illness of her body, so that she could follow the dictates of her heart and serve you with her life. Lord, whatever you do, we know it will be right. And we just pray, Lord, that whatever you do will be accepted, and we will give you the glory. I'm asking you that you would heal her. Lord, I'm praying that you would. If it would be within your will, and if you could see that it would do this lady good, would you show her favor and set her free from her physical affliction, I pray. And we will give you the honor, the glory, because we ask it in the name that is above every name. We ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Thank you, men. So I don't believe in praying for people to be healed. Well, you go home and read James chapter 5 tonight, and then come back and we'll talk about it. All right? All right, Luke chapter number 4. I'm not going to take long tonight. I've got a few truths I want to give to you. Take a little different view. We're going to come back to this scripture at another time. But tonight I want to talk to you about the church, about Fellowship Baptist Church. I want to talk to you about how the devil will try to turn what we're doing here. All right? Now, we're living in an age. Have you been reading about this? It's been going on for some time now. The seeker-friendly church. You heard that? Heard that term? The seeker-friendly church. Well, I don't know where to begin with that. You know, it's not even scriptural, okay? The Bible says that no man seeketh after God, so I don't know how you can be a seeker friend. Lost people are seeking church about like criminals are seeking the police department. Amen? I mean, that just doesn't work, all right? The seeker-friendly church. I think what they mean by that may be the Satan-friendly church. Now, I'm not throwing mud. I'm just telling you. This thing of trying to say, well, you know what we're going to do? We're going to change the way God said do things to meet the needs of people outside the church. No, 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 no. That's not the way it works. Okay, that's not the way God set it up. Now here's a lie of the devil. I want you to listen to me very carefully. The lie of the devil is you've got to become like them to reach them. That's not the case at all. That's not what they need. By the way, that's not what I was looking for. I needed something different than what I had going on in my life. How about you that are saved here tonight? You know what I'm talking about? Amen. Amen. When you were lost and you realized you were lost and you realized that there was no hope for you and you were just absolutely miserable in your life and you needed something, was you wanting to go to somewhere where you more of the same? I don't think so. Don't think so. Not even scriptural. The Satan-friendly church. When I look at this situation here, I learned some things about the devil. I learned what he wants for the body of Christ. I learned what he wanted for Jesus Christ, but also learned what he wanted for the body, and we are the body of Christ. We are the church of the living God, we who are saved, all right? All saved people are part of the body of Christ. And so when I read this, there's three avenues that I see where the devil is trying to get the church off its mark. And so I want you to look at it with me, okay? Now, the Bible says in chapter number 4 of the Gospel of Luke, it says, and Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan. In other words, he was baptized there, all right? He was baptized at Jordan by John the Baptist. You can read that earlier in Luke. And then the Bible says that he was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. being 40 days tempted of the devil, and in those days he did eat nothing. Now listen, when you fast 40 days, all right, that's a fast. That's a fast. And it's not my purpose to go into the fast tonight, but I tell you right now, this is something. Now, I fasted before, and I believe some of you fasted before. Fasting is a very good thing to do. As a matter of fact, you take out the biblical teaching of fasting and just look at the scientific part of it. It's good for the body. It's part of cleansing. It's good for the body, all right, to do fasting. Now, Jesus fasted 40 days. Now, I want you to understand what the devil does here. That you think, well, the devil's trying to help Jesus by telling him to turn the stone into bread so he could eat. It's not good to eat solid food after you fasted for 40 days. Could kill you. That's right. See, the devil's trying to keep Jesus from going to the cross. You need to understand that. That's why he done all this. He doesn't want Jesus to go to the cross because that's where Jesus did his work. Well, he healed people. He went around in the cities and he taught great teachings and he healed people. Jesus did his work at the cross. When he prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane, he prayed, "I've come to do the work that thou sent me to do." None of that he counted as his work. That was part of the plan for him to go to the cross. The cross was the work. You understand that? Jesus could have come and taught all the good lessons, and God knows he taught great. Listen, he preached some of the greatest messages that have ever been preached. Could have come and healed all the people that he did heal, and we don't know how many people he healed while he was here upon this earth. It's a great thing. But had he just come and done that and went back to heaven, brethren, we'd still be lost. We'd still be in our sin. There'd be no need to be here tonight. But the Bible says here that when the devil began to after he tempted him for 40 days, and Jesus, the first few days they say in a fast that you begin to get really hungry, but then it kind of becomes numb and you don't feel much pain until it comes back, and that's toward the end of the fast, which is about the end of the time man can take it, and then it comes back with a vengeance and it can kill a person. And that's where it says here, he afterward hungered. All right? Then look, if you would, in verse number 3. Then the devil said unto him, "If thou be the Son of God, command this stone that it be made bread." Now, what am I to learn from this? Now, I want you to listen very carefully. Jesus had been fasting. He was full of the Holy Ghost. He was in communion with God the Father, which is a spiritual thing. All right? Spiritual. And what I learned from this is the devil wants to get our attention off the spiritual. Now, I want you to listen very carefully. And he wants us to get our attention on the physical. On the physical. On the physical needs and not the spiritual needs. Now that's what the devil's trying to do to every church, and he has succeeded in many. Now I'm not opposed to feeding the hungry. I think it's a good thing. So I want you to listen very carefully. Don't leave here and say, "Well, you know, the preacher, he's against feeding the hungry." I didn't say that. I'm for that. We've gotten involved in some of that. Through the years, I've tried to help people. This church has tried to help people, not opposed to clothing people. I think it's a good thing. Not opposed to trying to take care of sheltering people and getting them good help. But that is not the purpose of the church. Everybody say amen with me. The purpose of the church is to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, to meet the spiritual need of men, women, boys, and girls. Let me say that again. The purpose of the church is spiritual, not physical. And yet we live in a day where everything seems to be governed and catered to the spiritual or the physical aspect of man. Brethren, that's not God's will. It's not God's will for the church to emphasize only the physical. And that is exactly what is happening here. Look at it. The devil said unto him, "If thou be the Son of God," would you underline that in your Bible? Son of God. "If thou be the Son of God, command this stone that it be made bread." And Jesus answered him, saying, "It is written," now I want you to notice this, "that man," would you underline that in your Bible? See, Satan said, "You're the Son of God, and since you're the Son of God, you ought to be able to do whatever you want to do." And Jesus said, "Now wait a minute. You come to me not as the Son of God, I'm in the flesh. You come to me as God in the flesh. Man, I'm going to take care of this as a man." Listen to me. This is what Jesus is saying. "Man shall not live by bread alone." See, he was thinking about you and me. I can't turn stone into bread. Can you? You say, I can. Listen, me and you need to hook up after the service. We're going to make a bundle. Amen. You can't turn stone to bread. If you can turn stone to bread, we'll feed everybody on the planet. It can't be done by mortal man. And Jesus knew this. And so he said, listen, this is not about the physical. There's something greater. Man has a greater need than a physical need. And that is a spiritual need. Now listen, that's where we are as a church. We have got to understand that the opportunity that God has given us is not to meet the physical need or the material need of man. God has given us an opportunity to do something that no other institution can do. The church of the living God can meet the spiritual need of man. And God knows man has a spiritual need. Man in his sin is lost, separated from God. Separated from God. If he lives in that state, if he dies in that state, he will die in his sin and go to hell. And if he dies in his sin and goes to hell, he'll be separated from God forever. And so God planted a church. And through the church, the local church, God said, I'm going to call me a man, and he's going to stand and he's going to preach my word. And just like Paul told young Timothy, Timothy, preach the word. Brethren, that's what we need. Amen. The church is here. I want to say it one more time. Not to feed the hungry, not to clothe the naked, not to make well the sick, not to shelter the homeless. The church is here to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ and meet the spiritual need of man. No other institution can do that. There are many, many institutions that can feed the hungry. I'm not saying the church shouldn't be involved in it. I'm not saying you shouldn't be involved in it. I am saying that is not the primary need of man, and that is not the primary cause of the church. And when we lose our focus and begin to cater to only the social aspect and the physical aspect of man, listen now, God will take his power off of this place. It's happened many times before where churches lose their focus and they begin to change directions and they forget that the church is here to meet the spiritual needs of man, the spiritual needs of people, not the physical needs, the spiritual needs. What's happening here? He said, I want you to take your mind off of the spiritual and look at your physical need. And look what Jesus said to him, verse number 4. Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. Now here's what I want you to write down. I want you to write down the word appetite. See, man has an appetite. And the devil wants you to think that the only appetite that you have is a physical appetite. But you have a spiritual appetite. There is a longing deep down in the recesses of the soul of man that is longing for a relationship with his maker. It is a spiritual appetite that man has. And man will have that longing in his soul until he comes to know his maker through a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus. And so the devil says, I've got to get them turned. I've got to get them off of the spiritual and get them on the physical. We've got to make this all about the physical. Recreation, social events, right? Nothing wrong with programs. We have them here. We had a children's program tonight. Nothing wrong with programs. But you do not major on the programs and do the will of God. You do not major on the programs. There must be a presentation of the gospel. There must be spiritual aspect in all that we do. And by the grace of God, brethren, that's the way we're going to do it. Can I get an amen? It's important. It truly is. So I just want to say that. I want to say that here in this first temptation, the devil's trying to say, hey, forget about the spiritual. Forget about the fasting and getting that closeness with God. Forget about that closeness, that communion, that spiritual nearness, and begin to focus on your physical. You're hungry. Eat, right? Now what's happening here? That's exactly what the devil will do in this church and every church. Hey, don't worry about preaching. Don't worry about tending to the spiritual need. Just clothe a few people. Get involved in the humanity and the humane part of service. No, we want to do what no one else can do, and that is help meet the spiritual needs of individuals. Where are people going to go to get their spiritual needs met? To this book right here. and hopefully to this place right here and many more places that will preach the Word of God and place an emphasis on the spiritual needs of man. And you may be here tonight and you have a spiritual need. Listen, I want to tell you something about folks. Been doing this for 39 years, all right? Listen carefully. Been saved 39 years. Been doing it about 35 years. I want you to listen to me. Sometimes people know what their needs are. And they come and they listen. They say, well, you know, I hope I can get my need met. The Word of God can meet the need of man. Sometimes people come, they don't even know what their need is. But this is how good God is. God did this for me. I don't know how God did it for you, but I didn't even know what my need was. I didn't know how to be saved. I didn't know how to get to heaven. I just knew that I was broken. You know, I just knew, man, I'm broke. I don't mean without money. I mean broken. I was broken. And God revealed to me, this is your problem, son. Your problem is your sin. Your problem is you're separated from God. God was so kind and favorable to show me my need. And then, not only did he show me my need, praise God, he met it. See, that's the purpose of the church. All right? And so we want to keep it that way. We want to keep the church spiritual, not social. Nothing wrong with social events. Now, I want you to hear me carefully. Not physical. Nothing wrong with physical things, programs and recreation and activities. Nothing wrong with that as long as we keep a spiritual emphasis in the midst of it. We don't want to get unbalanced and lean toward the physical. All right? That's a Satan-friendly church. Satan-friendly church leaves out the spiritual. Right? Leaves out the spiritual and just does the quote-unquote church thing. Number two, look at it. Look in verse number 5. Now, when Jesus said it is written in verse number 4 that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God, that means man is more than a physical being. He's a spiritual being, and he needs more than physical food. He needs spiritual food. Your spirit needs food, all right? You are a spiritual being. I want you to understand that. And you will famish. You will dry up spiritually if you do not get your spirit fed and if you do not have communion with God. Number two, not only does the devil try to get the church to get off the spiritual and just only emphasize and major on the physical, but through appetite. But watch this. Look at the ambition that is shown here. And the devil, verse 5, taking him up into a high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, all this power will I give thee and the glory of them. Boy, isn't that what people's after today? Isn't it? Attention. Power. Ambitious. You know, what do you want to be when you grow up? Right? I mean, boy, we start real young. What do you want to be? You know, what about power and money and glory and fame and celebrity, right? Huh? That's it. So what are we to learn from this? We're to learn that this is the tools of Satan. Listen to me carefully. He wants to get your ambitions twisted. God didn't put you here to be famous. God didn't put me here so that I could make it about me. See, this is what this is about. Look at what he said here now. See, the devil wants you and I to treat the church like it's about us. As a matter of fact, if you're not careful, you'll say, oh yeah, I go down there to Dale Freeman's church. I want to tell you something right now. Dale Freeman doesn't have a church. I've died for no one yet. I think I'd be willing to die for my wife and family. I think so. I don't know. I've never been put in that situation. It's Jesus that died for the church, brethren. This is Jesus' church. You see, we get mixed up. We get so mixed up. And we start using terminology like that, and we do just like I taught this morning. We give place to the devil, and before long, we'll think this is about us. We'll think, well, look what I've done. Brethren, we've done very little except for obey God. God's built this church. Amen. I said, God's built this church. Amen. God's put the leadership together here. God's done what's been done here. If we're not careful, we'll fall for this trick right here. Look at it again. He said in verse number 6, he said, the devil said to him, all this power will I give thee and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will give it. If thou wilt worship me, all shall be thine. Boy, what a trick that the devil to try to pull on us here. Right? The devil will have a family thinking, well, you know what? I don't know that Fellowship Baptist Church could do without me. Sure we could. Amen. You say, well, no, preacher, that doesn't make me feel very good. Well, if it'll make you feel any better, it could do without me too. Amen. It could do without any of us. You say, well, I'm the glue that holds this church together. You're no such thing. Jesus Christ is the Lord of this church.
Amen.
That's a trick of the devil. When we begin to think we've got to have a power, we've got to have a say-so, we've got to get the glory, we've got to get the recognition for all that's done. When a church is noted by a family that attends it or a preacher that pastors it only, now listen to me, or primarily, well, I tell you, people's got their focus in the wrong place. The church should be known by the power of God and the person of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Right? And if we're not careful now, we'll get preacher religion. And people think, boy, just talk. And I think you ought to, listen, I think you ought to love your pastor. I think you ought to pray for your pastors. I think you ought to give us all your money. Amen. If you're visiting tonight, I'm just carrying on. Loosen up. Amen. I believe you ought to love your pastor and pray for your pastors. And I believe you do. Okay? But your pastor, this church is not about me. One day, I'm not going to be here. All right? One day I'm not going to be here. If Jesus doesn't come, I'll be gone. All right? And some of you middle-aged and younger folks, you got to carry on. We got to pass the torch to the next man. And you got to go on and serve God with your life. You can't make the church about a man. All right? Keep it about God. Keep the perspective right. And so let's not fall into this trap right here. You see what's happening? It's a trap. And the devil, this is a Satan-friendly church that'll do this now. Number one, a Satan-friendly church, a church out of God's will say, we got to take care of the social and the physical. But we ought to come back and say, as Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. We've got to keep it spiritual because people represent spiritual needs. And we are an institution. God has planted this church here to meet the spiritual needs of this community and through world evangelism around the world. That's why we're here. All right? That's number one. Number two, the ambition. We have to be careful. That was appetites. All right? That's appetites. We got to stick to the spiritual appetite. Number two, the ambition. We got to keep our ambition straight. Our ambition is not to become famous. We want to be the most famous church in Virginia. We want to be the most famous church in Madison County. We want to be the most famous church in whatever, ever, ever. Listen, I want God to get the glory. Whatever it takes for that, then listen, I'm in for it. God get the glory. If that means that we have 400, then God get the glory. If that means we have 500, God get the glory. If that means we start church planting in different areas, God get the glory. As long as we stay focused on who is to get the power and the glory out of this, then God will keep his hand on it. But the moment we lose that now and our ambition turns inward and we begin to think, well, boy, I tell you right now, they couldn't do without me down there. Well, now we're in trouble. There's going to be a lot of bickering and fighting going on, contention in the church. And so here, I want you to look at the scripture again. He said, and the devil said in him, verse number 6, all this power will I give thee and the glory of them. I think sometimes folks think that's what church is for, you know. Go down there and make a name for yourself and to get on the list. No, that's not it at all. So how are we going to prevent that, preacher? Please don't miss this. If you don't have a Bible, could I encourage you to do something? Would you look on next to you? I want you to see this. See, there's something that every one of us need to know about ourselves. We have been created in the image of God. And when God made man to worship him. We are worshipful beings. We have to worship. It's the only way we can find fulfillment is to worship. It's the only way that we can find fulfillment and purpose. And so what does man do? If man does not worship God, he'll worship himself. That's called humanism. If man will not worship God or himself, he'll worship his money. He'll worship his possessions. He'll worship anything that he can fall down to. But I want you to notice something very clearly Don't miss this, all right? Then we'll move to the final point and I'll be done for tonight. Why is worship important? Because there's something that is directly attached to worship that's going to tie up a lot of your time. You are going to spend a lot of time with what or who you worship. Well, I'm not worshiping anything. I beg to differ. Getting ready to answer that. We're getting ready to find out not only that you do worship, but what you worship. Notice what is said here. Satan, at the last, in verse number 7, said, "If thou therefore wilt worship me." You see that? So I just want you to fall down and worship me. He said nothing about serving. Don't miss this. He said, if you will worship me, you don't have to serve me. If you will worship me, I'll give you all this, the power and the glory that goes with it. But Satan, you think something that a lot of human beings do not know. You serve what you worship. And that's why Jesus answered this way. Look at verse number 8. And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve." Now, why did Jesus throw that in there? Well, number one, because it's the written word of God. But number two, because Jesus knows that who you worship is who you're going to serve. Or what you worship is what you're going to serve. You know, there's a lot of people that worship money, so they work all the time. That's all they do is work. Their life. As a matter of fact, our society, and listen to me now, has just about come to that. I can walk up to the average guy tomorrow, or gal as far as that goes, and say, "Hey, how you doing? I'm Pastor Freeman, Fellowship Baptist Church," and they can tell me their name, and I could say, "So tell me, what do you do?" And you know what they're going to tell me? Their occupation. I didn't ask them what their occupation was. I said, "What do you do?" But we are so fixed in our mind that that's what makes us. That's what makes us. What do you do? I fish. I bowl. I play ball. I spend time with my wife, my grandchildren. I eat at Cracker Barrel. Amen. Huh? What do you do? But you know what most people say? They tell us what their work is. You know why? We're programmed to think that's what makes us. Because money's got a grip on us. It's got a grip. And so when Jesus said here, he said, the Lord is who you should worship, and him only shalt thou serve. That's how we're going to stay straight on who the church is about. Worship God. You serve God, we won't be having any fights at the church over who's in charge. Amen? God's in charge. Finally, and I close with this. Look, if you would, in verse number 9. And he brought him to Jerusalem and set him on a pinnacle of the temple and said unto him, "If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down from hence. For it is written, he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou shalt dash thy foot against a stone." And Jesus answered unto him, he said, "It is said, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God." And when the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed from him for a season. And Jesus returned into the power of the Spirit into Galilee. And I'll end my reading there. And here's what I want you to see. A Satan-friendly church, number one, will say, "Listen, don't talk a lot about sin and the need of the spiritual man, and that we're all sinned and condemned by sin, that we must repent of our sin and receive Jesus. Don't talk about spiritual things. Just kind of keep it on the fleshly. Keep it on the physical. Keep it on the social." Right? Right? That's the first thing. Then the second thing. Don't make it about Jesus now. Make it about men and glory and fame and a name for yourself and a name for the church. Don't make it about God. Don't make it about Jesus. Right? Listen. There are people that do some of the strangest things. And again, I'm not throwing mud here. But we're not going to be having somebody here that does backflips to try to attract a crowd. Just not going to do it. You say, "I got a guy who knows karate, and he's going to come in here and pow, he's going to chop a big block." I don't care. It doesn't do anything for me. See, I saw a lightning bolt one time split a big old oak down the middle. He can chop all the blocks he wants to. I done seen God do some massive stuff. Amen. I'm serious.
But we think that's, boy, you know, get them in here and do this and do that, and we'll just have a big light show, and man, that's not what church is about. That's not what church is about. We have spiritual needs. When we come to church, we ought not be looking what we can get. We need to be looking what we can give. The Bible says that when you come to church, you ought to exhort one another. And so much the more as you see the day approaching. Oftentimes, we've got it backwards. We come to church and we just say, you know, I'm just coming to see what I can get. Well, why don't you try coming to see what you can give? It'll change the way you leave church. It really will. And I don't mean just money. Now, don't get me. I'm talking about a word of encouragement. Say something, a kind word to someone. Do something that'll encourage somebody. It'll make a difference. So number one, appetite. We want to keep our appetite spiritual, not physical. Number two, ambition. We want to keep our ambition about God and His glory and not us and our glory. Number three, acceptance. Did you notice what Jesus did right here? Jesus said, listen, it's written. It's said. You misquoted the Bible. Now, here's what the devil wants to do. And I'm going to close with this. The devil says, listen, there's no need preaching hard. There's no need preaching against sin. There's no need telling everybody what the Bible says. Just let everybody know that God loves them and everything's going to be okay. I'm going to tell you something tonight, so I want you to listen very carefully. God does love you, and everything is going to be okay if you're saved. But now, if you're not saved, it's not going to be okay. All right? And even if you are saved, and you are stubborn and strong will, and you say, I'm going to do life my way, God's going to deal with you. Because He loves you. And whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom He receiveth. All right? So I'm not going to water it down. It's not going to happen. A Satan-friendly church will water it down and say, well, you know, you don't have to worry about loud preaching. I wrote down some things from seeker-friendly churches. This is literal things that they promote. Come to our church. It'll be over an hour or less. Wow. Come to our church, you won't have to worry about a follow-up visit. When you come to our church, you can leave your wallet at home. Thought it was more blessed to give than to receive, but I guess not here. Right? See how mixed up folks can get when we lose focus and... Here's a good one. We only have Sunday morning services. The rest of the week is yours. What? When you come here, there'll be no loud preaching or old songs. I forgot something. With an organ. What in the world's wrong with people? What's wrong with our culture? What's wrong with our world? We've forgotten what real, true worship services really are. We've forgotten. I think folks have started this, and listen, don't be offended at me. I'm going to try to help you right here, all right? Then I'm going to have prayer. We have allowed so much of the world to get in the church that we don't like to say amen. I like to say amen. As a matter of fact, I want you to say that. Say amen.
Amen.
Say it again.
Amen.
It's a great word, isn't it? It's a good Bible word. You ever been to a ball game and somebody scored a touchdown, and somebody jumped and say, amen! Huh? You ever done that? No, I don't think so. Maybe once or twice. Right? So your son's playing a game, right? Right? He's in little league baseball and he gets the winning hit and you jump up and say, hallelujah! Amen! Glory to God! No. See, we done brought all that in the church, right? It's got like the world. I do everything like the world. Hey, listen, I don't want to do things like the world. How about you? I want to do things like God said do. You know what they done in the Bible? They'd shout, amen. They'd sing them psalms, amen. You say, well, the Bible says they clapped their hands. No, it said they clapped. breath. Hallelujah. It's good Bible words. But now we come to church and we sit around so afraid what somebody's going to think of us. Right? So afraid. I'm just so afraid somebody's going to think, well, he might be a fanatic. Let me go ahead and just clear this up on my part. I am a fanatic. All right? Amen. I'm just going to clear that. I'm a fanatic. Amen. Jesus saved me, and I've never gotten over it. Not going to. God has shown me favor. And listen, I'm not going to shut my mouth for some skeptic. Not going to do it. And I encourage you not to do it either. Now, don't act a fool now. If you do, be a fool for Christ's sake. So, a Satan-friendly church tries to bring the world in, does everything like the world. We don't want to be a Satan-friendly church. We want to be a Savior-friendly church. We want to worship God. Let's stand to our feet. Well, it's a little different tonight.